Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 10, day 4 of our study of Nehemiah. I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and today we're talking about Nehemiah 13, 19 through 27.
Hey guys, I'd love for you to join our brand new Facebook group. If you'd like to join, head over to 10weekbible.com and links to join the Facebook group are there.
Welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Nehemiah 13, starting in verse 19. When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath was over. Going back to yesterday's passage, Nehemiah had come back from an extended period of time. My guess is somewhere around 2 years, could have been less, could have been more. But he had gone to Persia, Babylon, and come back and found all manner of terrible things going on. Specifically here, he found that the Jews were buying and selling and doing all sorts of things on the Sabbath that they were not supposed to be doing. And so he is going to shut this down very quickly, continuing on. I ordered the doors to be shut and not opened until the Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gates so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem. But I warned them and said, "Why do you spend the night by the wall? If you do this again, I will arrest you." From that time on, they no longer came on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. Remember me for this also, my God, and show mercy to me according to your great love. And again, this is not Nehemiah saying, remember me for these good things and let me into heaven when I get there. That's not what he's asking. He's asking for a reward for the effort and the difficulty that he's had to manage these irritating people in the city. Nehemiah has people close the gates, and the merchants still come, and they, the night before, whatever, they wait outside the city gates to get in the next day when they open the gates during the daylight to come in and sell things on the Sabbath. And they're sitting there, and so they camp out, and they're waiting there, and Nehemiah comes, either goes out to them or stands on the wall or somehow tells them, listen, I don't know what you think you're going to accomplish. I'm not letting you in. And if you decide to come and camp outside the city again to try and get in and sell your goods, to sell your wares on the Sabbath day, I will have you arrested just for camping outside the city gates. Don't do it. And they kept trying. They did it once or twice, it says. You know, but a stern response will actually be very effective at getting people to disperse and go their own way. When you're soft on people initially, that's when things can really get out of control fast. And Nehemiah knows you got to clamp down hard and quick, and then it, you know, you don't have to deal with it anymore. And that's exactly what he does. In that way, he's actually quite a good governor, as he knows that you can't give the people that are doing the wrong things, you can't give them an inch and not a day. You've got to clamp down on it hard and quickly, and he puts an end to it. Verse 23. Moreover, in those days, I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and Ashdod is a Philistine town. These are Philistines. I mean, the Philistines, my goodness, are the arch nemesis of the Israelites through most of this period of history. And so someone has married, you know, Philistine women and had kids that are Philistine, and Ammonites and Moabites. It's crazy. Continuing on, verse 24. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, or the language of one of the other peoples, and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. This is where it gets good. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. I made them take an oath in God's name and said, "You are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons, nor are you to take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves." Again, I don't know necessarily this is to Nehemiah's credit for becoming violent. There are times in Israel's past where out of their zeal for God, people got incredibly violent, even to where they were putting people to death, and God honored them for it. And so there are definitely cases where people are enacting justice and God honors them for even for violence at times. I don't know necessarily that this is to Nehemiah's credit. Maybe the Lord looks at this and honors them like, no, these people needed a beating. These people needed a beating for what they had done. Maybe that's the case. I don't think that when we read this and we're like, oh, well, you know, when we see injustices, we should go beat on people for whatever. I don't think that's the takeaway here. Please, please, please don't hear that as the takeaway. And I'm not talking to the 99.9% of you that regularly listen to or watch this podcast. I'm talking to you, weird internet troll that wants to come on and just find some little nitpicky thing and be like, oh, you know, we're supposed to go out and beat people. No, please, please, please don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not the takeaway from this, but it is interesting to see, like, it feels like all of this combined, all of the things that have happened when Nehemiah gets back from this trip, it pushes him over the edge. It puts him over the edge, and he beats these people and pulls their hair out. That to me is that's crazy. That's over the top. I've never thought to pull someone's hair out before. I can't imagine what state of anger I would be in to want to pull someone's hair out. But obviously Nehemiah had gotten there by the time he sees that even these people's children cannot speak Hebrew at this point, or whatever version of Hebrew they were speaking. He calls it the language of Judah. Maybe that was Hebrew at this time, or some version of Hebrew. I don't know. All right, continuing on. 26. Was it not because of marriages like these that Solomon, king of Israel, sinned? Among the many nations, there was no king like him. He was loved by his God, and God made him king over all Israel. But even he was led into sin by foreign women. This is very clear in scripture. Solomon's the wisest king, the richest king. Like, Solomon is the superlative of everything, right? And Nehemiah is saying, Solomon was smarter than you. He was richer than you. Solomon was better than you in every way. But even Solomon could not disobey the Lord in this way. And Solomon married all of these foreign women. 1,000. He had 1,000 wives, and a big chunk of them were foreign. Even Solomon, who was better than any of you, as Nehemiah is saying, Solomon was better than any of you could ever hope to be. And even he could not overcome this. Even he could not keep from sinning in the way that God said he would sin by doing the thing he said not to do. God said, don't marry foreign women. Excuse me, not because God hates foreigners, not because God hates interracial marriage, but because he knew that the Israelites would start worshiping these other people's gods and turn their backs on him. That was a specific reason God gave every time someone did it, including Solomon. And it was Solomon's downfall. Solomon's downfall was marrying foreign women because it led him to worship and to spend money on the worship of foreign gods. Nehemiah is saying, if Solomon couldn't do it, who on earth do you think you are? Do you think that you're going to marry these foreign women and it's just going to be okay? Paul says a very similar thing in the New Testament. He's like, listen, Christians, don't marry non-Christians. Don't be unequally yoked in marriage. Don't do it. It will not go well. You cannot overcome this. Christians, you have to marry Christians. At this time, he's saying, Jews, you can only marry other Jews. You cannot marry foreigners. Solomon couldn't do it. You have no chance. Verse 27. Must we hear now that you too are doing all this terrible wickedness and are being unfaithful to our God by marrying foreign women?" They don't have a chance. And it very clearly, it was wickedness for them to do so. And again, I'm saying this on repeat, not for the 99.9% of you that are regular listeners or viewers of this broadcast, but for the people that we all know exist on the internet who are going to listen to this and it's like, "Oh, you know, here's a nut job saying that, you know, God hates interracial marriage. You know, you should hate all Christians," or whatever kind of nonsense people come up with. That is not what God is saying. Absolutely not what God is saying. He was telling the Jews very specifically, don't marry foreigners because they will suck you into their idol worship, to worshiping their foreign idols, even unto sacrificing your children in the fires of Molech, which they did. All of these things that God told them not to do, or you will do this, the prediction that he made, it all happened. It all came true. Not like multiple generations in. I mean, Solomon, David's son, one generation, he fell into all of this. So it's not that God hates interracial marriage. He doesn't. He absolutely doesn't. He doesn't want his people being led away into turning our backs on him. That's why Paul says, don't marry non-Christian people. A Christian should not marry a non-Christian person. Now, you know, Paul also addresses, what do you do if, you know, you're married to a non-Christian and you get saved, but the other person doesn't? That really creates a conundrum, right? And Paul deals with that. And it's one of those things can be very difficult to walk out, but he's very clear in the same way here that Nehemiah is, do not, as a Christian, marry knowingly a non-Christian. Don't do it. You're not good enough to overcome whatever you think that, you know, you might, maybe I'll marry them and they'll get saved. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way, by and large. I mean, maybe, yes, you can tell me some occasions where it has, fine, but by and large, it does not work that way. That's what Nehemiah is getting at. That's what Paul got at. And that is still good advice for us today. It's not that we shouldn't marry interracially. It's that we shouldn't marry people that are going to pull us away from God. It doesn't matter what color or flavor of humanity you are. A Christian should not marry a non-Christian and get pulled away from God in doing so. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.